We're going to deal with a very special subject today, since it is Quetzalcoatl, which is also the main name of our Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. So, for you to know, we are a civil organization and association of psychoanalytic anthropology, the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. Okay, Quetzalcoatl is the feathered serpent that sums up all the work we have to do here in our lives, here and now. The reason for coming to Earth, the purpose of our existence. All this is summed up in the name of Quetzalcoatl by itself. Quetzalcoatl is therefore the feathered serpent, and its cult, its teaching, spread, became known throughout Mesoamerica, and the Toltec culture was the one that welcomed it. A very interesting phrase from the Toltecs, who were truly great sages, said, "You must know how to communicate with your own heart." It's very interesting because it shows us that we must dialogue with our heart, that we must not to be too intellectual nor too reasoning, but to be much more intuitive. We are therefore going to begin this conference, the subject of which is so interesting, with a prayer which was said hundreds and hundreds of years ago. This prayer refers precisely to Quetzalcoatl, to this eternal, cosmic, universal principle, to Ipalnemowani, which means the one for whom we live. It is the divinity, that which has no name, the one for whom we live, or the Lord for whom we live. We are therefore going to pray this prayer, which is in relation to Quetzalcoatl. Please, we will start by quickly relaxing our physical body. We will make ourselves comfortable and close our eyes, just for a moment. Let us try to put ourselves into a state of self-remembering, that is, to be here and now, not thinking in our problems, not thinking in the past, not projecting into the future, but here and now. We are going to repeat a prayer that was so sacred for the people of Mesoamerica hundreds of years ago, and we start saying, "Lord, for whom we live, masters of what is near and what is far, with joy, we thank you for our Lord Quetzalcoatl, who, with the sacrifice of his blood and his penitence, brought your life into us. Make us strong like him, make us joyful like him, make us righteous like him. Let it be so." We can open our eyes and move our bodies. We started with this prayer because it gives us an idea of who Quetzalcoatl is. He, Quetzalcoatl, it's not a myth. It's not a story of any hero who existed in a certain time and who over time acquired virtues and power, moving away from reality. Not at all. Quetzalcoatl is not just a myth, a legend. He is beyond many things, which will open our hearts to be able to capture and understand a little bit, to feel, to guess a little bit about what Quetzalcoatl really is, because he represents by itself many things at the same time. He shows us countless strengths, attributes, power, virtues, prototypes, energies. Quetzalcoatl represents all of this. It is a cosmic principle, an eternal principle, an universal principle. It is also a master who really existed as a person physically here on these Mexican lands, just like Buddha in India, Jesus Christ or Krishna. There was here, of course, a master who spread the teachings, but he is also a part of ourselves, a part of our own being. We, who have many faults, countless selves, egos, demonic and perverse egos, we also have divine parts inside ourselves These are what we call the parts of our being, of our spirit. You can imagine or picture of your spirit like an army. And a very important aspect of this army is the principle of Quetzalcoatl inside of us. It also represents a prototype of perfection, something that we wish to follow and achieve, like a path to follow, like a guide to have in this inextricable labyrinth that is our existence, our life. This is what Quetzalcoatl is, and we're going to see every aspect of it. We will first study Quetzalcoatl as a cosmic principle. Quetzalcoatl represents a force that flows through all that is, into all that has been, and into all that will be. It is for this reason that the sages, the ancients of old Mexico, said, even before the universe existed, Quetzalcoatl already existed. This is what ancient sages affirmed, and they continue by saying, after the universe ceases to exist, stop existing, Quetzalcoatl will continue to exist. Of course, they were not talking about just a man, the master, the avatar, or the messenger. They were referring to Quetzalcoatl as a cosmic principle, as a cosmic force, to this principle which makes the world exist and live. There is a force that makes world live and exist, an energy that makes atoms to exist, and this cosmic force was called by the ancient Christ, but by the Mexican Quetzalcoatl. Unfortunately, we always have a tendency to give human form to that which has no form, to that which cannot be expressed by having a form, not because it is intangible, it is unknowable, it is the unmanifested. That is to say, we cannot touch it, we cannot see it, but still exist, and causes life to come out of the core of atoms and start nuclei, and also makes the sun exist. It is very marvelous force of love. Quetzalcoatl can effectively represent this principle of love. And love can do everything. Love can radically transform us. Love is the best accessible religion possible. That is what Quetzalcoatl is. This is the cosmic principle for which so many monoliths, so many pyramids were built. This is the logos of Plato. Logos meaning verb, world. And as Saint John tells us in the Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him nothing that is could have been done. This is what the Logos is, the Word, which created the universe, which gave origin to everything that exists, and we give to this principle the name of Christ. The Master Jesus of Nazareth represented this principle of Christ, and Christ is the same force as Quetzalcoatl. We are not saying that Master Jesus was Master Quetzalcoatl, not at all. They were very different persons, two different people. We are simply talking about the principles that they represented, like if you have two actors representing the same play, right? Well, these were two persons, Quetzalcoatl and Jesus, who represented the same principle of Christ. Realize it exactly like a play. The Master Jesus represented the principle of Christ, the Platonic Logos, which in Egypt was represented by Osiris, the God, the good God, the triumphant, the son of the Divine Mother. Osiris is the representation also of the cosmic energy, of this energy which created the entire universe. And in India, it received the name of, guess it, Krishna. And you will know this, that the Gospel of Jesus Christ and the Gospel of Krishna are very similar. There are many concordances, many constants similar. Why? Because they represent the same cosmic principle. When we stop being selfish, when we stop hating, when we stop feeling resentments and antipathies, then we can make this cosmic force manifest in us. This force of nature, love, and then yes, we will have fulfilled the role of our existence. Quetzalcoatl is the Platonic Logos, the universal, eternal, cosmic principle. He is the son of a divine couple. So, this is why there is so much confusion about Quetzalcoatl. He represents at the same time the cosmic principle and the master and a part of our being, and he also represents a prototype of perfection. All of this at the same time, and moreover, with the same name, Quetzalcoatl. So, Quetzalcoatl tells us at a given moment, this is the path we must follow. And this, with the maps of the path that we are shown in the pyramids, in the steels, in the sacred monoliths of or the codices. But at the same time, we could also talk about the master as initiate. We could talk about the cosmic principle that we must embody, and which make everything that exists, everything created, live, to live. It is for this reason that Quetzalcoatl is spoken of in the wisdom of ancient Mexico as the son of the divine couple. It is very interesting to note that the Aztec did not castrate the divinity. They did not remove his house, just as the Egyptian did not do it either, because there were Osiris and Isis representing the principle, the masculine divine principle and the feminine divine principle. Osiris and Isis. Little by little, we have eliminated things to fit our own criteria, and now we only have a male god. Half of it, a male god. On the other hand, the Aztecs, Mayas, the Incas, the Zapotecs, the Egyptians, the Tibetans, and almost all the people of antiquity did not make this mistake, this error. They spoke of the divinity, in its masculine aspect and also in its feminine aspect. As a couple, we could say God as Father and God as Mother. God as Father is wisdom. God as Mother is love. Wisdom and love balancing on the two plates of the cosmic scale, in equilibrium. The most exalted, the most divine couple among ancient Aztec and Mexicans was the Lord of Duality and the Lady of the Duality. It was the most divine and most exalted couple, the ineffable, the unknowable, the unmanifested God, and they were represented as Omet the Kutli, Omet meaning two, and Kutli meaning Lord. So, Omet Sivatl meaning woman or lady. That is, you know it already, the Lord of Duality and the Lady of Duality. They are our parents who are in secret. Our Father, who is in secret, and our particular inner Divine Mother, and they are represented by, among the Aztecs, Ometecutli and Omecihuatl, the Eternal Masculine Principle and the Eternal Feminine Principle, had four children. These four children are called smoking mirrors. They are called so to show us that they are in all of creation and in all that which exists, the air, water, stone, and everything that is, has been, and will be. These are the four children of the divine couple and are called the four Tezcatlipoca or smoking mirrors. And we repeat. They show us that they are in everything that exists, has existed, and will exist. One of these four Tezcatlipoca or smoking mirrors is the black one. The other is the red one called Xipetotec. The other, another one is Huitzilopochtli, which is the left-handed hummingbird, which is also a myth, a legend by itself. It is the blue Tezcatlipoca, and the other is precisely Quetzalcoatl, the white one, the white Tezcatlipoca. This gives us an idea of how the universe is organized, how it manifests itself, how it was created through the representation of these four sons of the divine couple, Omecihuatl and Ometecutli. So, we have Quetzalcoatl, the white Tezcatlipoca, and Tezcatlipoca, who is the black one. And they are opposites. They are dualities, white representing fire and black representing water. Ancient traditions teach us that Quetzalcoatl, the white fertilist, Tezcatlipoca, the black, which then swirled until it burst from to form the universe. They speak to us there of the dawn of creation, of the origin of the universe by the word, by the army of the voice. The army of the word represented by Quetzalcoatl as a principle, as a cosmic principle, the principle of fire which fertilized water, so that everything that is, everything that was, and everything that will be can arise, can come to existence. Quetzalcoatl is therefore an eternal cosmic principle which flows throughout nature, which is found in the core of stars, in the core of atoms and planets. And the mission of each human being on Earth is to embody this principle, and we can succeed in this by living within ourselves the marvelous force of love, and for this we must learn to love. A perfect marriage is when two beings exist, one who loves more and the other who loves better. It is really only great souls who can and know how to love. We must put an end to all these egos of anger, hatred, and resentment, so that the wonderful force of love can be born in us. But Quetzalcoatl is also a title, which is why there are so many different approaches among our anthropologists, among our students all over the world, when they study Quetzalcoatl. Because we do not have esoteric teaching, and then we are wrong about those who made and gave all these teachings in the antiquity, because those who had given all these teachings were ancient Gnostic of the ancient times. And since we do not know those teachings, we will not be able to understand anything, and we will only see the exterior part. We will therefore deduce that they were bad people, sinister people who killed, who fought, who had a lot of pride, but that's not the reality at all. Quetzalcoatl, in addition to being an eternal cosmic principle who can represent love, is also a title given to people who are preparing for the path of initiation. Among the Egyptians, when a person managed to eliminate all the defects that we have described, such as hatred, anger, resentment, self-esteem, pride, jealousy, intolerant egos, impassion, etc. All these psychological defects, which mean that this force of love has no place in us, while we continue to have the psychological egos. When a person eliminates those defects, when they make them disappear, when they reduce them to cosmic powder, then, okay, the force of love flows into this person. Among the Egyptians, when someone managed to do this, and it's really not an easy thing, it's not enough to decide to do it right away, or to say, yes, I want love manifest itself in me. For this to be accomplished, just like that, no. We have to work intensely on each of our faults. And it is a work that can last for years, decades, and perhaps several lifetimes before that we succeed in eliminating all these undesirable psychological elements that we carry within. The one who succeeded, the one who managed to disintegrate all these defects who are against love within ourselves, so the one who succeeded to eliminate all of this can embody the principle of love. So, among the Egyptians, the one who succeeded was given the title of Osiris. That is to say that he had become an Osirophile, because he had succeeded in the manifestation of Osiris himself. So this person, this initiate, succeeded to become a new Osiris. He had become a good, triumphant being, son of the Divine Mother, Unefert, the good being. So he is called in the Book of the Dead. It should therefore not be surprising, my dear friends, that among the Toltecs, the Aztecs, and the people of Mesoamerica, the name of Quetzalcoatl was given to someone who prepared in this way, for a person who achieved such miracle in his own or her own interior. He or she received this title in his interior because he had succeeded in the incarnation of this marvelous force of love. Quetzalcoatl is therefore also a title, but it is also a prototype of perfection. That is to say, it is a goal to be achieved, the final objective that we, here on earth, must achieve. So we have a purpose that must make us live. We have a reason to be here. We must discover it and realize it, and that is represented by Quetzalcoatl. So, Coatl is a Nahuatl word, which is Nahuatl is an ancient language of Mexican, which means Coatl means snake or serpent. It also means twin. The snake or the serpent among the ancient Mexicans, as well as among the Incas and the Egyptians, and in the Hindu culture, is not at all a negative symbol. Let me repeat it. The serpent is not a negative symbol, a symbol of evil or evil, as we are used to think everywhere in the world, because of the famous tempting serpent of Eden. Okay, the Aztecs considered the serpent as the same symbol of wisdom, as a symbol of occult hidden knowledge, as the symbol of the earth, of modern nature, as a symbol of the eternal principle, eternal divine feminine principle. The Aztec and Mayas culture were serpentine cultures, that is to say, they were based on the wisdom of the serpent, on the occult wisdom, the wisdom of being, the wisdom of our divine mother. It is this what then Coatl refers to. Quetzalcoatl is a wonderful bird, the Quetzal, very beautiful bird with extraordinary colors. It has a long tail adorned with fantastic colored feathers. The Quetzal is the symbol of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit among the Christian, and Coatl is a symbol of the Divine Mother. So, the devotee, the initiate, must first be devoured by the serpent of wisdom, and then comes the Quetzal or the eagle, depending on the culture, which devoured the serpent in turn. This is depicted on the shield of Mexico, the flag of Mexico. The left hummingbird, or Huitzilopochtli, ordered the Aztec to find an eagle devouring a snake at the top of a nopal, a prickly pear. It was the symbol of the founding of Mexico, for founding Tenochtitlan, for founding everything that later became Mexico. The eagle devouring the serpent on top of nopal, this sort of cactus, is the symbol of Tenochtitlan. They sit in the lake of Texcoco on a small islet. The eagle represents also in this symbol, in this flag, for the ancient Mexicans, for the ancient Nahuatl, represents the Holy Spirit, and the serpent, the Divine Mother. So we must first of all be devoured by the serpent, that is to say, by the Divine Mother, where we have completely disintegrated all of our regrets, all of psychological mistake of our egos. It is then that the Divine Mother devours the students. The students become the serpent, and the one he has become a serpent, the third logos, the Holy Spirit, represented by the eagle or the Quetzal, devours the serpent. So he, the Quetzal, or the eagle, the Holy Spirit, divorce the initiate in turn, and then the initiate becomes a new Quetzalcoatl, a master. He becomes someone who has accomplished the goal of his existence, of our existence. It is for this reason that we speak of Quetzalcoatl as a prototype of perfection, as a guide, as the path that we must cover. It is the feathered serpent, the synthesis of the work that we ourselves must carry out, the fundamental objective of our existence, to be devoured by the Divine Mother so that she is then devoured by the eagle, or the Quetzal, so that one can then convert into a Quetzalcoatl. But Quetzalcoatl is also our innermost. It is our Father who is in secret, the intime. When we address Quetzalcoatl, we do not address the eternal cosmic principle nor the prototype of perfection. When we address Quetzalcoatl in our prayers, no. We address ourselves to our being, to our innermost. That is to say, to our Father who is in secret, to our spirit, to the where to come, to there where we come from, is our particular Quetzalcoatl. This is why we can see in the Aztec calendar the claws of the eagle crushing human hearts. These claws of the eagle are the claws of the innermost, the claws of Quetzalcoatl, destroying the passions, destroying the negative emotions, these unhealthy desires of envy, lust, greed, etc. We must destroy all this. We must crush all these desires. And it is precisely Quetzalcoatl, our innermost, who does all this work. You can also watch all the videos and explanation on our website that we made about the archaeological site of Chichen Itza. There are many symbols representing Quetzalcoatl, our innermost. Quetzalcoatl is also the sacred fire that all human beings have within them, a fire which is found in the Muladhara chakra, the fundamental chakra located at the base of our spine. It is also called the coccygeal chakra, or, according to the Bible, the Church of Ephesus in the esoteric Christianity. This is where the divine fire is located, the divine fire of Kundalini. We should therefore not be surprised that this symbol also exists in Mexico, and we can observe that Quetzalcoatl makes 3.5 turns, exactly as the allegory is made in India. It's an extraordinary analogy, an extraordinary resemblance between the two cultures. In India we have Kundalini, the sacred serpent, coiled 3.5 times on itself. And in Mexico, Quetzalcoatl is also coiled 3.5 times on itself. Among the Aztecs in the Anthropology Museum that we can observe in Mexico City, the Museum of Anthropology, there are snakes coiled 3.5 times on themselves, which precisely represent this sacred fire existing in the Muladhara chakra, and which wake up very well prepared people. And it's not all easy to wake it up. Some ignorant people think that just by falling on the coccyx, one can awaken this sacred serpent. They are completely wrong. Some people also think that with special little stones, color or tapping, they will succeed in awakening this sacred serpent of fire. But no, that's not how things happen at all. This sacred fire is intelligent, conscious, and is in relation with the Divine Mother. This is why the serpent is associated with the Divine Mother for the Aztec, the Egyptian, as well as in India, because it represents this exact sacred fire. When Quetzalcoatl awakens, he goes up the spine, all along the spine. In this case, it represents the sacred fire. It is the feathered serpent, the sacred serpent, going up, fluctuating inwards and up and upwards. This sacred fire, therefore, as represent Quetzalcoatl. Once more, Quetzalcoatl represent, and why not, a great initiate, a great master who really existed. He manifested himself among the Mexican people to give teaching. A master called Quetzalcoatl really existed. The ancient wise men of antiquity said, thus spoke the ancient of ancient times, this same Quetzalcoatl still lives. He is not dead, and once again, he must return, he must come and reign. It is certain that the master Quetzalcoatl exists. He is vigilant and knows very well that what we are doing. He came to instruct and teach us. It is the same for the Master Jesus. Do not think that he accomplished his mission and then he disappeared just like that. Master Jesus, even if you do not believe it, he still retained his same physical body as he used in the Holy Land and gave his message. He still lives with this same body and he is in a secret city in Tibet, in the fourth dimension, and he is trying to help us as humanity. Of course, he manifests in many places around the world to help us at the exact time this is happening with Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl is present to help us and to teach us as a master. It represents also our innermost, yes, our sacred fire, yes. Also, it is the universal cosmic force that we can call the marvelous force of love, yes. It is a cosmic force that sustains the world and the suns, the stars. Quetzalcoatl is all of that at the same time. But he is also a master, an initiate, a luminous being, a person, a diva. A deva. That is all that Master Quetzalcoatl represents. So, Quetzalcoatl as master appears as the son of the divine couple, as a person, as a human being who perfected himself and did his duty like any human being who succeed in doing the work that we must do within. He was born in the year Xeacatl, which is why we also call him Xeacatl Topiltzin Quetzalcoatl, since we always put the date of birth as his name. Se means one, and Acatl means cane. A cane, one cane. Anthropologists have calculated that he was born in the year 895. As an initiated master, he was born from the couple Ixtacmixcoatl and Chimalmatl. These were his parents. But we must emphasize that he was not, as many people think, a Hecatl. He is confused with the master Hecatl, but they are two different persons, two different beings. A Hecatl is the god of the wine, a deva, an angel, a master. He governs the wines of the world. Hecatl is represented with a bird's beak, with a mask, where he used to blow the winds. Just before the god of rain, which is Tlaloc, makes it rain, Hecatl first arrives, who blows some blows to clean the earth. Besides, you must certainly have noticed that before the rain arrives, the wind blows quite strongly. It is Hecatl who sweeps, who cleans the earth so that Master Tlaloc can then make the rain fall. Hecatl is represented with a bird's beak, but as Quetzalcoatl is also represented with a mask representing this god Hecatl, but as Quetzalcoatl using a mask, the mask of Hecatl. So, this confuses the anthropologist. So that's why some of them think that they two are the same, but not. It has often been said that they are the same person, but that's wrong. Quetzalcoatl, as an initiate, as a master, was the monarch, the king of Tula, Toyan, of the city of Tula, Hidalgo, and state department hid in Mexico. Quetzalcoatl was the monarch, the king of Toyan. He was austere by nature, introverted, in the sense that he liked to look inside himself. He was capable of fasting to discipline himself, to carry out his work of meditation, and at 30 years old he was the monarch of Toyan, of Tula, Hidalgo. He taught the habitants of Tula, the Toltecs or the builders, astronomy, the calendar, ceramics, goldsmith. He gave them all the teaching and knowledge they need. He spoke to them about Ipalnemowani, a name which means the one for whom we live. That is to say, Quetzalcoatl spoke to them about the divine and unknown forces. He forbids the war. He was a true master, an initiate. He forbids war because war leads to nothing, because wars only produce more pain and suffering. We gain absolutely nothing with wars. He also prohibits sacrifices because they are barbarities. Sacrifices were never taught by masters. On the other hand, he required self-sacrifices, sacrifices of bread and flowers and copali. Copali was incense, symbolizing the sacrifice we must make of what? Of anger, pride, envy, laziness, gluttony. And it is not at all easy to sacrifice these negative emotions. It's definitely easier to get away with it, to get angry, to get to be envious, etc., etc. That's for sure. It's easier to feel that than to eliminate that. For example, we are fathers, right? And we ask our children to go to get us something we need. They are in front of television, social networks, or are playing video games. They don't pay attention at all to what we ask them to do. So, we love to get upset and angry and cry. We feel very important, self-sufficient. We take on airs and grandeur. And this anger which accompanies pride is very interesting, you know. We like to get angry because then our children obey us out of fear. Of course, it's okay to speak firmly and rigorously from time to time if it's needed. But anger and strictness are two very different things. Anger and severity are very different. Sacrificing this is not easy at all. And we love to get angry. And it is not easy to not to identify ourselves with the past either, because we are always remembering the past. Ah, when I was little, I had trouble, I suffered, but I did this or that. And when I was 15, this happened to me. When I was a student, this or that happened to me. I had no money and didn't eat enough. I was unhappy, etc., etc. So we love to recall all our sufferings. We don't numb ourselves with alcohol, but we do it. We numb ourselves with our memories, our past. And it is extremely difficult to sacrifice that emotion. And we lose a huge amount of energy, by doing so. By getting identified, by getting hypnotized by our past, or memories, or suffering, recounting all of that. And we end up strengthening the ego of pride. So the pride becomes more important and difficult to deal with. Master Quetzalcoatl refers precisely to this type of sacrifice. And these sacrifices are represented by bread, flowers, and copali. They are symbols of this sacrifice that we must make, sacrifice or inner sins. Quetzalcoatl as a master forbids human sacrifice and homicide. Obviously, also, he prohibits polygamy. It is obvious that Master Quetzalcoatl was in agreement with the teachings of Master Jesus, who told us that polygamy was not something correct. All these deviances, it was we who invented them, and we justify them. Quetzalcoatl came and teach three very important things. He taught all to cultivate the land. This was written in the codices, the pyramids, and the legends, because we wanted to show that he came to teach us certain things. He wanted to show us the sacrifice for humanity. Remember this parable of the sower from the Master Jesus? The seed that fell on the side of the road were eaten by birds. The seeds that fell in the thorny bush died, smothered by the thorns. Those that fell among the stones could not take root. But the seeds that fell in good soil were able to grow and develop very well. And what did this seed represent? The knowledge, gnosis. We must share the teachings, we must make it known, we must spread it throughout humanity. This is really the useful way to help this humanity. Of course, yes, my dear friends, it is not only by helping people during earthquakes, floods, major hurricanes, or major disasters that we must help. We must feel our hurt and offer it to others, to humanity. And the best way to do it is not with money, it is not with material things, no. It is help by instructing, by showing the path to self-knowledge, self-gnosis. This is what it means to cultivate the land. Quetzalcoatl came to show us the path of sacrifice for humanity, sacrifice for fellow human beings. He also came to teach us how to classify animals and cut precious stones. Classifying animals means understanding our psychological flaws. Aren't these animals? Shouldn't we learn to classify them? This is exactly what we should do. And Quetzalcoatl has come to teach us this. Jesus, Buddha, also came to teach us this. And also Master Samael. He came to show us this path and how to classify these animals. Now, how to observe them, understand them, be attentive to psychological aggregates during the day, and then during our meditation, study them, because this is how we will succeed in classifying them. Then, we must cut the precious stone of the virtues, and this is only by eliminating the ego that these precious stones will arise in us. He also taught the smelting of ores. See everything Quetzalcoatl did as a social master of humanity. He helped humanity enormously. All this has been told in legends, in myths and codices, the pyramids, because it is in the domain of esoterism, because the classification of animals and the smelting of ores is not other things, my dear friends. This is the transmutation of creative energy. It is the born factor, to be born. They are the three factors of the revolution of consciousness. Smelting the metals represents the birth factor. It is where we transform our metals, where we reduce our metals in synthesis, which we can then transform. To die is to disintegrate our psychological defects and to sacrifice ourselves to humanity. And the Master Jesus made this clear to us when he declared, "He who wants to follow me must deny himself," which means that he must eliminate the ego. Master Jesus continues saying, "Carry your cross. It is a transmutation of our energy, and follow me." This means following the path of Christ, sacrificing self for humanity, helping our fellow human beings. These are, my dear friends, the three factors of the revolution of consciousness. Quetzalcoatl made a huge sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for the people who lived in Mexico City. He used to live in Tula as our king, and also went to Teotihuacan, city where men, women of course, men of humanity, where men become gods. And he had an open temple built there. This is why it is called the Temple of Quetzalcoatl. In Teotihuacan, therefore, there is the Pyramid of the Sun, the Pyramid of the Moon, and the House of the Dead, as well as the Temple of Lord Quetzalcoatl. He also went to Cholula. It is truly a sanctuary city where we are told a lot of things. The Spanish conquistadors declared when they arrived in Cholula, here there are as many houses of God as there are days in the year. Yes, there were everywhere, on the outside of the city. Our Lord Quetzalcoatl found himself in this city, and at that time there was a terrible drought. There was no water anywhere. So he then climbed to the top of the Great Pyramid, the major pyramid, which is said to be the largest in the world, the Pyramid of Cholula. So he went up and declared, "I'm going to fast here, to do penance, and will not come down until it rains." So, what kind of willpower did they have? And he remained there, fasting, meditating, and praying until the rain finally fell. Then he went to Coatzacoalcos and took a boat to sail the sea, and a prophecy declared that Quetzalcoatl would return. It is for this reason that when the Spanish arrived by the sea, the Aztecs, people of those lands, thought the prophecy was coming true. Obviously, that wasn't the case. It was a karma that they had to pay for all the deviances and negative things this culture did. In his iconography, there are drawings and symbols that represent him, that represent Quetzalcoatl, and here we see one of those images that characterize our institute. In his left hand, he has the Macuahuitl, which represent the mass, the will, or telema, which we need to work on ourselves, to dominate ourselves. And on this shield, there is the chimali, which is a symbol of Venus, because when Quetzalcoatl had finished his work, he went toward Venus, and Venus represent love. The symbol for Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute, it is this very same shield. It represents a snail cut in two, because the snail represents the word. We must spread gnosis, the teaching. And the symbol of Venus represents love for humanity, in no other interest than to serve our fellow human beings, and that is all. The drama of Quetzalcoatl is the same as the drama of Adam and Eve. The ancients said, as the ancients knew, Quetzalcoatl ascended to heaven, into the house of heaven. He was transformed into a star that shines in the dawn. It is in fact the star of Venus, the morning star. It is also the evening star. We know that it's a planet, but its shine make us think or make us take it as a star. The first star we notice before nightfall is Venus, and the star we see in the morning is also Venus. It is the planet of love. Quetzalcoatl therefore transformed into the star of Venus. But when we talk about it, we talk about it as a drama, as a play, theater play. Quetzalcoatl was in his temple, in his palace, and one day he ordered that his wife Quetzalpetatl be fetched. Both of them got drunk with pulque, and the fifth cup was given in honor of their greatness. Drinking pulque does not only mean drunkenness, which is something abominable per se, no, but also symbolizes the abuse of sexuality, Eden, the forbidden fruit, just as Adam and Eve. So Quetzalcoatl with his wife Quetzalpetatl abused of sexuality. They fell asleep completely drunk. So they forgot the rites, the ceremonies, the fast, and of course all the people realized that they had committed crime, that they had drunk pulque, and that he had asleep, that his conscience had fallen asleep. He had abused his creative forces, and as Genesis said, Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise, from Tula, from Toyan, from the Crystal Island, from the island of Tule, from Aslan, which is the representation of polycyclical worlds. And it is certain that when we abuse of creative energy, we move away from what is divine, from divinity. Quetzalcoatl therefore had to flee Tula. Quetzalcoatl burned all his houses, his work of art, his precious stone. He destroyed everything. This means that when one abuses one's creative energies, when one commits adultery, when one is a fornicator, it is obvious that one destroys all one's faculties, all of our powers, or virtues, or gifts. We destroy all of this just as Quetzalcoatl did. He then began his pilgrimage trying to regenerate himself, trying to move forward. He cried on a stone located on a stone bridge. There was water which arose at this place, water which extended and diffused. This means that he stopped abusing this creative energy. This is what we invite you to do so in these studies. To stop adultery, pornography, masturbation, infrasexual crimes, we must transmute our energy. There is water in this place. Water that rises as it arises. Water that expands and spreads. That's what it means. We must find the path again. And if we find this path again, by entering the Gnosis, studying and living the Gnostic principle, there are temptations produced by the dark ones. When Quetzalcoatl headed towards the red-colored earth, the red-colored earth being the path of perfection, the path to self-realization, when he tried to follow this path by rejecting all identification with the things of the world, he arrived in a place where everyone was sleeping, where everyone had their conscience asleep. We are all asleep, all of us. We all have a dormant conscience. At the moment, a left-handed character, a dark one, asked Quetzalcoatl, "Where are you going?" And Quetzalcoatl replied, "Towards the land of color red." The sinister character told him, "Before going there, you must drink pulque," by which he meant to start using his creative energy again, to start adultery again, to fill oneself with pornography, to start all these things again, which are abusing of the sexuality. This is what drinking pulque means. Quetzalcoatl resisted. "No, I don't even want to taste it." But the character forces him to drink, and Quetzalcoatl drank and fell asleep for several hours, which means that his consciousness falls asleep for many lifetimes. This is the state we find ourselves in today, my dear friends. Quetzalcoatl drank pulque with his wife Quetzalpetatl, and he drank more pulque with this character who got in his way, and he fell asleep. This is the state we find ourselves now, in this moment. During all our past existences, we have had our consciousness asleep, but we have the opportunity to awaken. awaken our consciousness. So, Quetzalcoatl wakes up and heads toward the red-colored earth. It passed through Ixtacihuatl and Popocatépetl, these volcanoes located in the Valley of Mexico. Ixtacihuatl represents the sleeping woman. Remember, we talked about Omecihuatl, Om meaning two, and Cihuatl meaning lady, Cihuatl. So there we have Ixtacihuatl, the white lady, and the Popocatépetl, which means the smoking hill. They represent the masculine sexual forces and the feminine sexual forces. Again, Quetzalcoatl, or the student following the path of Quetzalcoatl, enters into the path once again, takes up the path again, and moves away from animal and bestial passions. As a single man, he prepares for marriage firmly, not by going from woman to woman, and if he is married, he remains faithful to his partner, to his wife, or the wife to her husband. At the moment he gestures, die. These undesirables, those who accompany him and who represent all these different aggregates, psychological aggregates, represent these thousands of psychological defects that we possess inside ourselves. When we learn to channel our creative energy, to use meditation to self and self-observation, when we use these three instruments at the same time, this allows us to destroy all psychological aggregates, to transform all of that. So he then goes to the sea, and there he builds a boat made of snakes, which is in fact represent the degrees of initiation that the student can obtain when they get prepared. It is the same snake, or the layer of snakes or serpents that Buddha built, and he, Quetzalcoatl, headed toward the red-colored earth. And there he looked at himself in a mirror and saw that his face had become beautiful again, even though he had seen it all before. He arrived in the region of the dead, the mixed land, to recover the bond of his ancestors, which are the complete dissolution of the psychological aggregates. He made a big fire and cremated himself to be reborn like the phoenix, even more powerful than before. He therefore descended into the kingdom of the dead, and after having passed many trials, he succeeded in ascending to the heavens and transforming himself into the morning star. Master Quetzalcoatl thus removes everything he had lost, recovers everything he had lost. This drama, this legend of Quetzalcoatl, therefore represents the endemic fall, the fall of the human being. It is for this reason that we find ourselves today in such a state, because of the fall, because of the views of sexuality, full of defects and with our conscience completely asleep. We must return to the path of the red-colored earth, and for this we must descend to hell. We must descend into our own subconscious and take out all the bones of our ancestors, which are all of psychological aggregates, make a big fire and cremate ourselves. Whoever managed to do this work will of course become a morning star in this very manifestation of the marvelous force of love. Quetzalcoatl left on his boat, like the Egyptians did when they left on the boat from Ra towards the sun. Quetzalcoatl is gone, but we must call him with all our heart. We must call him with all the strength of our soul, because he is our innermost, because he is our being, because it is the force that we must embody, the force of love. Dear friends, said the master, the time has come when we must rebel against ourselves, The time has come when we must transform ourselves. The time has come when we must open the old codices, the old codex of Anahuac, to know the serpentine wisdom of our Lord Quetzalcoatl. Dear friends, we have ended our conference today on this topic. Thank you so much for being with us. For the bibliography, we recommend that you watch the video of Master Samael conference entitled Quetzalcoatl. It can be found on our website in the audio section in Spanish for the moment. But we can find also some translations of this conference. This was the last conference Master Samael gave. We recommend it to you so that you can experience it with the voice of Master Samael for the moment in Spanish. And for the advanced students, there are the books The Secret Doctrine of Anahuac and Aztec Christic Magic to get to study and understand a little more of Quetzalcoatl. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us.